But I want you to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Because Paul said a statement in the New Testament like this, I'm ready to be poured out offering unto the Lord. Remember that? And a drink offering is exactly what God makes us to be. So many Christians get caught up in just developing the fruit. We have to have fruit. We need fruit. In fact, we need to produce more and more and more fruit. Amen. But fruit is not the end of what Jesus does in your life and in my life. Hey, I'm going to chuck out a statement. You do not need fruit in heaven. You should have already been perfected by the change that's happening in your life. If you need long-suffering in heaven, you're in the wrong place. If someone's causing long-suffering in heaven, God will deal with them. Amen. Fruit is for the earth. Fruit is to show forth the Christ in you and to bless, show the blessing of God's life within you. Amen. But he doesn't leave you just full of fruit. Do something with the fruit. Yeah? So that's where we're going to go this morning. We're going to talk about being... Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to take our tithes and offerings as part of our worship before the Lord this morning. You can still breathe. It's all right. The squashing hasn't started yet. Father, the privilege to be able to give to the house of God this morning, give to your kingdom, your purposes, Father. I ask in the name of Jesus that, Lord, your Spirit will come and minister to us like never before. Lord, we're on the precipice of something fresh and something new. And God, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. And Father, though there's confusion in the world, Lord, you're not the author of... So God, my rest is in you. Lord, as a child of God, my rest is in you. I lean upon you. Father, help me to decrease that you might increase in me. Help me to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. Help me obedient to your word, because obedience brings liberty and freedom. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that Lord, you give us by your Spirit an ear to hear what your Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you give this morning. Hallelujah. I believe God's a God of multiplication. He's a God of addition. He's a God of multiplication. He's not the God of division. He's a God of multiplication. He's a God of addition. Jesus came to a couple of people on a boat. Chapter 5 it'll be. Jesus came to a couple of guys on a boat, Peter, his brother. And they had been fishing all night. Remember that? They'd been fishing all night. They'd been fishing all night. And Jesus said to them something quite unique. He said to Simon, now I'd like you to, can we just go a little bit deeper than what we normally go? He called Simon because he's not Peter yet. All right? He's still a reed blown by the wind. He's always in. All right? Simon, launch out in the deep and cast your what? Let down your what? Let down your what? Nets. For a catch. So he told him he was going to get a catch. Is that right? But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Straight away he goes to what he knows. He's no different to any one of us. We do the same. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down what? Jesus said, let down nets. He let down what? The net. My perception and my own personal wisdom and my own knowledge can hinder the process of God's blessing in my life. Jesus said to let down nets. He never said. But Peter, in his wisdom, thought, number one, catch fish by day, you catch them by night. That's why he was out all night. Number two, tried this and it didn't work. Ever been there before? So I let down a net. So he let down a net. He let down a net, and the net got full. So full that he had to call his partners, Andrew and, can't remember his name, Andrew and his partners, to come and help him, all right? James and John, sons of Zebedee, to come and help him, his partners. And they had to come and help him catch the boat. He's so full, his boat was so full, he had to call others to help him. Right. Peter's the fish. Jesus' faith was not towards the fish. He knew he'd get fish. Jesus' faith was, Peter, can you believe for a bigger vessel? Because if he let down the nets, all the nets would have been filled. All of them. So Jesus was steering him to the vessel, and if all the nets were big, I'm telling you now, God would have somehow supernaturally made that boat float. So his faith was really not towards the fish. His faith needed to be towards the vessel. And if we concentrate on the fish and not the vessel, sometimes we stop of the blessing of God. Amen. God wanted him to be multiple ways, nets. People here this morning, you're going one way in God, and then, you know, but really God called you to many ways, to cast out many nets. But because of this and my past experience, I only chuck out the one net just in case. But God wants me to stretch my faith out. And he wants you to say, God, increase the capacity of the vessel. Amen. Increase the capacity of the vessel. And that vessel this morning is you. Amen. Is you. Where's my glasses, darling? Oh, it might be in there. I can't see a thing. When Jesus starts talking about, they're up here. When Jesus starts talking about increase, he wants to see increase in the vessel to carry exactly what he wants you to carry. He wants you to have what he wants you to have so you can be a blessing unto others. Amen. But in the midst of that, in the midst of the increase, God causes this capacity to increase within us. Every time God talks about things of increase, a lot of times he'll bring us to a harvest. A harvest. He'll bring me to a harvest. And he usually starts talking about harvests like this. First the seed, then the grain, then the fruit. Agree? The scattered. The seed can be planted or it can be scattered. Sometimes the seed can be planted upside down. It doesn't really matter how the seed goes in the ground. You've got to know about the seed. The seed will only grow if the atmosphere and the amount of water is correct. Amen? And of course, if there's an agitation in the soil. Agitation is one of the instruments God uses to grow things. Can I hear an amen? Doesn't matter which way I put the seed will always go towards the light. It can't help itself. It will always grow towards the light. Amen? So there's always the seed, there's always the grain, and there's always the fruit. But with that, there's always a planting, there's always a harvest. We love the planting, we love the harvest. We don't like to talk about the pruning. But without the pruning, there is no increase. There is always a planting, there is always a pruning, and there's something new in God. You have to have a planting, a pruning, and a harvest. Testifies, a seed shall be sown, scattered, or tended. A seed will be planted, and it's usually in a dirty, dark place, the ground. And that's when he's putting his seed in that dirty, dark place of our life. So it can bring forth and towards the sun. Amen. He says in the word that in the midst of all that, when he plants the seed, he expects a harvest. When God grew the vine, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the vine, you are the branches, he is the vine dresser. When the branches come forth, it's the branches' fruit. The branches draw from the root. Amen. Who is who? Christ. Christ Jesus is the root. We draw from the root that produces the fruit, and then the vine prunes the branches. In fact, the Bible says every branch that produces fruit, not some branches, every branch that produces fruit will be. There's a cutting. Do you agree? This is an all preparation for the vessel. So I can hold what he wants me to hold. I need the fruit to multiply in my life so he gets what he wants to get out of me. And the fruit that he's after. I'll rephrase that. We need the fruit. But the ultimate I walk is not just to produce fruit. It's to produce a product of the fruit. Let's go deeper. When there's a cutting to the branch, a cutting can be both purposeful, life. Someone can stab you, it's still a cut. Or a surgeon can cut you. Good. Yes? So there's the good and the bad, but the body doesn't care, your body, my body, would not care what the instrument was that cut me. All it's interested in is the cut. Amen? So some people are cut violently, hurtfully, nastily. Some people will get cut by the surgeon. Amen? But both should bring forth fruit. Amen? Both cause bleeding. Both cause a scar. One's for good and some. But all cutting, God needs and he will bring forth fruit. Amen? Are you with me? We think producing the fruit is all that God requires, but my life will experience a pruning or a cutting to cause a greater growth and more fruit. God requires more fruit. We need more fruit. A harvest requires more fruit. Amen? A cut can be a knife or a scalpel, both cut. I've said that. It all deals with the cut, and in these dealings, God causes us to bear more fruit. In fact, Jesus says that we should bear much fruit. Is that what the Bible says? Much fruit. Fruit shall remain. John says this in 15:1-2, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Each in me that does not bear fruit will be taken away. And every branch, none of us are exempt from this. None of us. Every branch that bears prunes, it may bear what? More fruit. He wants the more fruit. Why is God so interested in producing more fruit? Why does God want more fruit in your life? My notes. But fruit is only useful while on earth and towards one another, that they may see a life of fruitfulness and blessedness from God. And it's the truth. I need fruit with you. I need patience. I need long suffering. I need joy. I need temperance. Amen. I need love. Amen. We need that in our life when we're living together. Do you agree? So, and all this here, that the fruitfulness is blessed, but most think that God only wants to produce this fruit. And the process is about fruit and nothing else, but he now to produce something in us and through us that he will partake of in my life. Something that he wants to partake of in me. Something that I'm not offering to people, but I'm offering to him. Amen. The first miracle Jesus ever did, John 2, that he turned the water into wine. Water into wine, purification into celebration. God wants to celebrate over our lives. God wants to celebrate over our... Do you believe that? So the fruit of the vine, to get the wine to flow, the fruit of the wine must be what? Must be squashed. If I leave it as grapes, and it doesn't, and I don't put make a process of producing, all I'll have at the end of it is sultanas. Wants wine. In fact, he actually says this in John 15, I believe. He says, "I will not drink of again till I drink it with you in the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 26:29. God bless you. Have I? There I am thinking that she's a miracle worker. There is a wine that God wants to get out of you. Hear me. There is a wine that God wants to get out of your life. How does wine produce? In the day of Jesus, did they have these big mechanical presses that just run over the wine? Did they do that? No, they didn't do that. How did they produce the wine? They went in with their feet and they squashed it. Tenure and long toenails, washed with the grape juice of life, given another flavor. For me, wrong way, but never mind. One of the things that the use to cause the fruit to release the sugar, sweetness of it, is other people. They'll stomp on you and they don't even know they're stomping on it. In fact, they'll think they're doing you a favor. But he will use the feet of others to cause the sweetness out of you. The yeast is already on the skin. Therefore, it has to. So after the bruising and the crushing, it's left. And this is where most Christians stop the process. This, Jesus, where are you? Jesus, what have I done to cause this to happen? Jesus, why has this happened to me? Not knowing that every and every foot stomping is actually his process to get produce the wine for his table. It's the fruit is good. We need the fruit. We need to produce the fruit. But the fruit is not the end. The fruit must produce something. You do not know you've got patience until patience. You don't think, you might say, "Lord, I thank you for the fruit of the Spirit, long suffering, gentleness, joy." And someone does something wrong and you're far from gentle. You're far from long suffering and your joy's just gone out the window. You don't realize what is in until there's a proving and a testing and a squeezing of that to realize what is lack in my life. That's why he needs me to produce much fruit. That's his process. I only have to draw from the vine. I do not produce, I bring forth the fruit, but it's only from the source of the vine. Amen. The process of this making, God is doing something. Are you with me? What made, it lies there. And it's going through a process. Anyone ever watch this? And when you go through the process, you think that's the end of the process. No, no, no. Most of them days went through four processes. It actually says, and it was sent. The wine produces has got a covering on it. Grapes sometimes that haven't been washed, they've got like a furry thing over them, like a white thing, all right? That's the yeast that mixes with the sugar that produces the fermentation of the wine. But that yeast, the old King James will call it lees. Amen? After it's given up, the yeast starts to die and it drops to the bottom, It needs to be taken away, otherwise the wine will go bitter. So it's got to constantly be processed. Amen. The wine gives off a... in the process. I'm getting to the vessel in a minute. The wine gives off a gas in its process called carbon monoxide. It needs to be vented, otherwise there's a buildup of gas. Amen. There's someone else that gives off carbon monoxide every time he breathes out. Another called you and I. It needs to be vented. That which I should needs to be released, because if it doesn't get released, if I keep holding my breath, what will happen? I'll die. Either that, or if I just have a mask of carbon monoxide, I'll die. Therefore, it's involuntary for me to give up my carbon monoxide and breathe out. If it refuses to let go of and not breathe out what they need to release, it'll end up dying. You will die. Your joy will die. Your peace will die. Your love will die. Because you're meant to hold it. You're meant to give it up. Amen. So all of a sudden now we've got the wine starting to... it's going through the process and it's doing all this hidden. Then all of a sudden the wine now needs a vessel. Hallelujah. You cannot pour new wine in an old wineskin. You cannot patch the old, expecting it to be able to stretch to compensate for the new wine and its processes. Otherwise, the Bible says it will tear. New wine must be put in new wineskins. Hello, vessels. I have to have the capacity that after the fruit is born, and after sometimes people's feet have been where they shouldn't have been, and I've cut what he needs to cut, and after God makes things happen in my life that produces the wine that he requires, I need then to be made into the vessel to carry the new thing he's doing in my life. Amen. Fruit is what we need, but wine is what we should produce. Amen. Fruit will sustain you. Fruit will fill you. Amen. Fruit will feed me. But only wine will change my mind. You come under the influence of wine, it changes your mind of state. Amen. I want you to get a picture. Wine, new wine needs a new wineskin. The new wineskins have the capacity to act. If I'm asking God for something fresh and new with an old mindset, holding onto something, old carbon monoxide where it shouldn't be, guess what? I will not have the capacity to carry, but I lose. There will be a loss in my life. You can still produce the fruit season. And hear me, that wineskin that's been produced today might not necessarily be the same wineskin that's next week. Because season after season, the wine is produced. Therefore, I've got to change the vessel to suit the need of the wine every time I step into the things of God. Lord, something in my life that needs to be dealt with. Lord, do I need to ply the oil in my life to make me pliable enough? Because that's what they used. They'd ply the oil into the skin of the goat or the bladder of the goat to make it flexible. You see, the anointing can be as well. The anointing will point out. But sometimes there's got to be a sacrifice for a new wineskin. An animal has got to give up his life for a wineskin. Something inside of me has to die sometimes so a new can be reproduced. Amen? Do not camp around just bearing fruit. Say, I thank you for the fruit. Now he's going to take me to a testing. Now he's going to take me to a crisis. Now he's going to, and he might use people's feet. Now you get there in the vat and complain about that person's feet all you like. But unless husbandman or the vineyardman filters out what he needs to filter out, to leave with what he desires to leave with, all I am and all I will be, to produce something that's quite bitter called vinegar. When Jesus was on the cross, they threw up a sponge full of vinegar. Isaiah tells me, and also Ezekiel tells me, do not drink of the waste. Jesus doesn't want the lees or the waste. He wants is the pureness of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life that has changed the fruit into wine. You are what he will celebrate in heaven. You are presented to the Master in heaven. You are. He doesn't want an apple. And he doesn't want a banana, he doesn't want an orange. He wants his wine. And he wants to drink it with you at his table. Amen. Are you with me? Let me keep reading. An old wine in its capacity will suffer a tearing. Expansion is from the process of the gases being too great. And I've got to let go of stuff. I've got to vent that stuff. I've got to allow that stuff to escape out of my life so it doesn't get bottled up and rupture in. Amen. I do not want it to turn to bitterness. I do not want the wine to turn to vinegar. And that, but if I bottle up the gas and don't release it so it comes, so there's more room for it to grow. Then I've got to go through the processes of purification. Lord, strain me. We say it like this, Lord, change me. But really, he's straining you. He's getting you, and he's pouring your strainer, and he's catching the pain, the hurt, the regrets, the anger, the resentment, the bitterness. What I've got to do is leave it in the strainer. And the next strainer will be even finer, because the Holy Ghost will start putting his finger on even things that you think are irrelevant. Oh, no, that's all right. Jesus wouldn't ask me to do that. But he will. There's nothing left that put in the wine or the that will portray the grape except the color. Amen. Then it turns and it changes. And Jesus' first miracle was to show that the bridegroom won. Hallelujah. And we're coming into a season is preparing his people. And I don't want you to be shocked when your fruit is tested. In fact, you should. You should celebrate. So when someone cuts you, don't whinge. Thank you. Thank you that it's revealed some. Oh, all it's done was cut off a branch. Thank you for wasting time growing that thing and it won't produce fruit. Thank you. Oh, it's got fruit on it. Thank you that it's producing my life. I thank you. And Lord, you're going to produce next season more fruit. Thank you. Most of it all, I feel the pain, but in the midst of my pain, I'm producing your life. Amen. Why do you think Jesus in the communion said this? Drink ye. Because you've got to drink everything of him. You can't just have some of him. Drink this much of him and leave that much of him. Drink ye. All of it. That's why he says, all of it. You can't have some of Jesus and not the other part of Jesus. You have to have everything of Jesus. Leviticus 17:11 says, life is in the blood. This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Drink ye all of it. So when you're producing the wine, you're literally producing life. His life. His fruit represents the life. Wine is the life. The world can see the fruit and it is good, but only the wine could cause a mind change. And this is where he wants his sons to be. His sons and his daughters. And most of the church is only caught up with fruit. But if they realize what he was, the fruit, the vine might be a bit bare. Because no one wants the process of the crushing. Paul says it like this, that I might know him in the fellowship of his. We don't talk about that little, that you see that sentence? We usually can't highlight that out, white it out. We don't do that part. That I might, oh, I want to know you, I want to know you, I want to know you. And the fellowship of my, no, we don't want that part. Jesus, that's Old King James. We don't read that in NIV, that's a good one. Oh, it's deleted. Thank you, Jesus. No. To know him is to know all of him. To know him, his fruitfulness, his love, his grace, his mercy. And then when I take communion, I'm saying, Jesus, I fellowship. I partake of your body. I fellowship with your suffering. I partake. I now fellowship with your life. That's what you're actually doing in communion. Do this in of me. Did Jesus allow the fruit to become wine in his life? He dripped it on the cross. God wants fruitfulness to abound in your life. So when the presence, I may change and cause this vessel to increase in capacity, to wants me to carry. Because sometimes when I say I've got peace, it's a confession. When I say I've got the joy because someone's tickled me, and that's not the joy he's talking about. When I say I've got love, and love gets, anyone have their love pressed? You can smile. You don't have to put your hand up just in case I'm looking at you. You have your love pressed, and you tell them with the love of the Lord, while they're pressing you, and they and all of a sudden around your neck, and they don't even know they've got their foot on your neck. They're just talking, but it's scuff out of you. And then they say, see your love, and they walk away, and you're left with it, whatever your it is. You're left, and all of a sudden the weight of those words is your pressing. Then you see, have I really got fruit? If not, Lord, let branch that it might produce much fruit. Amen. So many Christians are wasting with feeding the wrong branch. Can I go? When something has happened between a brother or a sister or whomever, and you try to make it the way it was, you are wasting your time. It can be restored and repaired. I'll rephrase it. It can be repaired and restored. But 99 of 100, it will never be the same. Stop wasting life on trying to be the same by pleasing another to try to keep it happening. Amen. Say, Lord, cause another shoot to grow. Cause another shoot to grow. Prune that which needs to be pruned in my life. Have relationships toxic. And it can make the wine bitter. If that's the case, I've got to let the gas get out of me. I've got to escape that thing, let it get out of me, and allow him to press me. Come on now. Process me to love them, to honor them, to appreciate them, but don't have an expectation on them. And so many Christians are getting hurt because they got a reputation of people. But they should do this. Why haven't they done that? I would do this. Why haven't they done that? Because they're not you. They are not you. So don't expect someone to act like you because they're not you. What you've done, Jesus. Here, Jesus, I'm crushed. He doesn't think it's been crushed enough. He'll add some weight to it. Because he's not worried about the skins. He's worried about what comes out of the skin. He's going to give a... a flip about the skins. He doesn't give a flip about the vessel that they carried it. He doesn't care about that. He cares about the internal process that he wants to do in your life. Are you with me? Your God and my God has something great for your life. He wants to make some new vessels. Some of them old vessels will be cast aside and say, God, cause me to carry the capacity you want me to carry. Amen. Hallelujah. There's some of you here this morning, God has asked you to cast nets, but you've only cast the one net. Whether through your own processing, that's stopped it. You'll only catch what you deem you think you should catch, but what you throw out. When God says cast out the net, take a step of faith to say, Lord, I might have toiled all night, I can't see it, but at your word, grant me the faith to cast out the nets. Increase my capacity to carry what you've designed me to carry. I don't want only a little bit, and I don't want held back by my own thinking and my own imagination and my own ways, because I think that's all I can do. Because when I am weak, he is strong. When I can't, he can. And that keeps me humble enough to acknowledge him as my Lord and my Savior all the time. And then in the process of growing my fruit, say, Jesus, help me. Help me not to differentiate between the cut, but allow the cut to me. Prune me. Help me to grow. Help me produce this fruit that I am with the wine that you so desire. Help me to be that vessel of honor in this hour. Amen. Fit for the master's use. God is looking to create a vessel to carry the more. Who wants to be part of the more? I want to be part of the more. I want the more. I want more of God. I want the increase for my life. I want the increase God has for my family. Amen. But I know my family, and I can't. I can't do it for them. There will have to be that squeezing on their life. Amen. That I here may partake of the life which yields to the process of the Spirit, knowing every cut, every hurt, every suffering, every expression of pain God is using to make your wine. Hallelujah. Are we still breathing? Fruit is very important. But if you believe just for the fruit, you're missing. Fruit has to give up. Has to give up what it contains for the master's table. Amen. And so that whole process of shows me I'm in him. Amen. Someone says, oh, if you lack, sow patience. Well, you do. But unless it's the work of the Spirit, you can have patience one day with someone, and you can have no patience the next day with someone else. But if it's the work of the Spirit, you'll have patience with all. Amen. Long suffering. We can long suffer with those who we love. Is that true? I long suffer with my daughter and my kids and my grandkids. I'll long suffer with them and my wife. I'm still getting squashed. This. It's the truth. Right? And my wife. But if I had to be squashed for someone I don't really know, I'd have second thoughts about going through the... I'm only being honest. I would. Oh. But you see, if it's born of the Spirit, you will. Your goal is not what you're going to go through. Your reward is what it's going to yield. And it's something that the Master partakes of. Wouldn't it be nice to get to heaven and Jesus says, sit at my table, we're going to have a drink. And I'll probably say to him, Jesus, I haven't drunk in 33 years. He'll say, that's all right, it's not alcoholic. Probably won't. No, he wouldn't do that. And then he'd say, and it's my life. And if you want a great picture of that, If you want a great picture of that, you just go to the Jesus loved and he wept over. Anyone remembers the person that Jesus loved and he wept over him? Lazarus, come forth. When Lazarus was resurrected, it says that he was sitting with the Lord at his table. Remember that? And it says, and the city came not just for Jesus, but to see Lazarus, the man that was resurrected from the... And where did they find him?
Table.
That's where you're designed to be. At his table. Amen. Those who walk in resurrected life have the privilege at his table. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. I know I might have introduced a concept that you have never heard of. But honestly, heaven doesn't need bananas. Heaven doesn't need apples, and heaven doesn't need oranges. And heaven doesn't have to suffer long. Because if you muck up, he soon fixes it. The fruit of the Spirit, or the Spirit himself, is already in the habitation of heaven. It will be natural for me to suffer long. It will be natural for me to... Amen. But I want to produce something of the Master. I need a new vessel. I need a new wineskin. I need a wineskin. And some of us Christians have got so much patchwork on our wineskins. And we can't hold what he wants us to hold. God's saying, discard all that. He will do thing. If you want the new wine, you need to allow him to bring forth the new wineskin. If that's you this morning, you just raise your hands before the Lord. Say, God, use me. Use me. And I know it's going to cost me. I know you're going to squeeze. I know you're going to squeeze me. Some people are going to trample me. But I'm ready for it. Because it's all going to work out together for the good. See your hands raised this morning. We want to come into the fullness that you have for our lives. We yield to you, Spirit. We yield to you, Holy Spirit. And we say, have your way. God, give us the capacity. Give us the capacity to never think we've suffered loss, but that we more things through Christ. Change me, shape me, transform me. Cause me to be that new wineskin like never before. Lord, the world is yearning to see a manifestation of your sons. Yearning, Jesus, not for another sermon, not for another TV show. They're waiting for the authenticity that's in us, the hope of glory. Fill these vessels with wine, that out of our belly shall have a fresh flow in the name of Jesus. And if that's you this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Cam, cast your nets. Not a net. Cast your nets. Because he's got so much more for you to catch than you could even imagine. But he'll give you the capacity to carry it. All right? So in the midst of your turmoil, celebrate him, because he'll grow you for you to carry the weight that you're going to pull in. All right? Don't limit him. Get this out of the way for a bit. Get this out of the way. Amen? Hallelujah. Do you love him?
Yes.
Is he a good God?
Yes.
He chose whom he loves. My daughter said, Dad? I said, what? She goes, you and your sonship messages. She goes, honestly? She goes, half of us don't understand them. I said, is that right, love? She goes, yeah. As to where she's going. She goes, Dad, when are you going to put up the next message? I need to hear it. And I'll tell you why that happened. When you've tasted of the meat, you can't go back to the milk. It's impossible. When you taste of the meat and how much he has for your life, you cannot go back to the milk because you will walk away empty. Amen? You can have the meat every day of your life, but to have the meat in the Word. You've got to be in the Word. I only got today about the nets. He says, too many people are limiting me because they've told all night and they think, oh, I'll do what I think I should do. He said, but I want to expand them to the left and to the right. I want to cause them to have growth in them. And they're so worried about the fish. He said, this is how he's talking to me. Why do you think I sent them out? There was already fish there. I knew there was fish there. He said, I believe it. It's about to carry what I wanted to give them. God wants to expand you. God wants to expand you to carry more than what you can even imagine or think, that you might bring forth a harvest. When you come to the shore, those who are hungry can eat. That's what it was all about. The fish, Peter, James, and John, the fish were for those who are hungry. What we do, we catch our net and it's just enough for me. Come on now. Let's expand our thinking here this morning. Amen. Love you, appreciate you. Pray for me while I'm over with my daughter that I don't get locked up in ACT. It's true. Anyway, if it is, isn't. Amen. Love you heaps. God bless you. Please remember Good Friday, Easter Sunday. Amen. Fellowship together. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock Friday, 10 o'clock Sunday. God bless you. Big successful week. And know this. All things work out together for my all. God bless. Amen.